as the speaker. Are you ready? Good. Late. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Continuing our lesson, our discussion, our study of this beautiful text of Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala connected to the different fawaid, the different benefits which are derived from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And before we start, I just want to give a few tanbihat, a few different points. First, we're at the halfway point now. So that which is left from the book is less from which we take in. So let's remember to have sincerity bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, ikhlas lillahi tabarak ta'ala, and the rest of what we study, and seeking to implement that which we learn, and also call to that in which we learn. And remember, when we first started yesterday, which is to be from the sa'ilin, be from those who seek out and ask about the knowledge, right? So we ask Allah to make us from those. Next, another tanbih, a different point in which I want to speak about, is going back to a few different, one of the points that we mentioned in last class, which is about the dawa'i, right, al-qawiyyah, the different strong motives. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned something about this that I forgot to mention in a lesson, and that is that it's important when we're thinking about these things that have strong motives that come along with it, strong things compelling us to do harm, to do the haram, right, and to fall into things and be from those people who have committed sins, that we not only do we seek the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do all them things in which we talked about in the last lesson, but also we keep our tongue protected from saying words that are not true. For example, you have people say, La atahammal. Like, I'm not able to bear it. You know, let's say fitna is in this place, I can't handle it, I can't deal with that. It's important, Sheikh Abdul Razak said, it's important not to say this. Because you can. There's no such thing as you can't bear it. You can bear it. With strong faith, with being patient, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can bear these different type of harms that come of our way. But we might have to make sure our iman is in a place where we're able to use it and able to be something which helps us. So it's important. That's a tanbih that's very important because I'm not sure if you guys hear that here, but it's something which we hear a lot. You know, I can't go to this place because, wallahi ma atahammal. I'm not able to handle it. I'm not able to deal with that. So that's an important point from Sheikh Abdul Razak. Continuing in our study. Actually, before that, the third point that I want to get into before we moved on was connected to the last one. And that was the end one where we talked about how it's important to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations that we may fear falling into sinful actions, falling into different dhunub, right? Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned that when you're doing this and you're turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُجِبْ لَهُ الثَّبَاتِ فِي أَمُورْ كُلِّهِ, it is something which obligates and establishes any firmness in all of his situations, when we're turning back to Allah and we're asking Allah for help. هَكَذَا الْإِيمَانِ وَهَذَا مِنْ ثَمْرَةِ الْإِيمَانِ, that is how iman is. It is a protector for you, and that is the rewards and the benefits of iman. Naam. So that's the situation of the believer. In all trials, tribulations, in all hardships, in all obedience, in all blessings, in all ease, in all difficulties, whatever he's dealing with, he makes sure that he turns back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all of his affairs. Now, continuing now, Fasal al-Khamis, the fifth chapter. And that is, وَمِنْهَا فَصَلُ الْإِيمَانِ الْكَامِلِ وَالْيَقِينِ, to have complete iman, the essence of iman, the virtue of iman, having it complete, وَالْيَقِينِ, in certainty, and likewise, contentment, بِاللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى بِذِكْرِهِ, and mentioning and remembering Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. So that now we're going to talk about from the benefits which we derive is this, right? That we have complete iman, or the excellence of having complete iman, and certainty and contentment with that. And just as a side point, right, from the excellence of iman, there's a few books that was written on this from Imam al-Sa'di himself. The first one is At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li shajarat al-Iman. So the clarity and true word or todia, clarification, explanation of the branches of iman. Okay, if anybody wants to look that up, that's a good one, where he describes it in great detail. Right now we're taking it as like mukhtasar. It's something which is very shortened. But it comes in great detail in that book, where he numbers it one by one, the excellence of iman, the importance of iman, firm faith, which I would encourage the brothers to go back and read that. Likewise, he has a second book, which is called Taysir al-Latif al-Manan fi Hadith an al-Iman, right? So I'm not really sure how that gets translated or if it's been translated, but Taysir al-Latif al-Manan fi Hadith an al-Iman. So that's another book in which the Sheikh goes into great detail speaking about the Iman. And from the benefits in the excellence of having iman and certainty and contentment with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is knowing that the iman, it becomes a mafza', something which is like a safe house, lil mu'min fi kulli ahwalihi, in all of his situations. It becomes something in which protects him, something in which he can turn to, okay? It makes him consumed with his affairs, consumed with his own situation, and makes his situation ease. Unlike the one who is weaker in iman, or his iman is deficient, or his iman is gone, okay? And he busies his heart with that which is of no benefit, okay? If a person has the iman, and he strengthens his iman, and he's worried about his faith with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it becomes a mafsa', it becomes a safe house, which keeps him and his heart at ease and safe. Like we said already, all the difficulties, all the ease, and all the different trials and tribulations he goes through, he turns back to this mafsa, this safe house, a protector. He runs back to that, and he decides what should be done after that. And we know that iman, it eases the heart. It eases the heart. Where Allah SWT says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطَمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطَمَئِنُّوا الْقُلُوبُ is thus those who believe in their hearts and assure the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's firm in their heart with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, unquestionably, without doubt, the remembrance of Allah, it assures the hearts and brings about ease. So we see here, going back to the book of Imam Sa'di, where it talks about the excellence of having iman. حيث اتصف بها يوسف عليه السلام فأوجب له الثبات في أموره كلها وانشغال فيها وهو يصدر على وظائف حاضر. Him having this perfect iman, him turning back to this with his iman, it is a character in which he was characterized with that what? It gave him stability in all of his affairs. All of his affairs, he was at ease. All of his affairs, he was at ease. And he had the ability to what? Be ready and face that which was present, that which was in front of him. Fi hadir, that which was in front of him. In all of his situations. وَهُوَ فِي أَحْوَالِهِ وَتُنَقُلَاتِهِ And likewise, in his changing of his affairs, in all of his situations, he was at ease in his qalb, وَثَابَتِ النَّفْسِ And likewise, in his mind state, he was at ease. He didn't have any type of issues. Even with the bu'dihi an abihi wa ahbabihi, even with his distancing from his father, being distant from his father, and distant from his loved ones, he was at ease. So that goes back to that point. And as Imam Sa'di said, that the situation was, subhanAllah, he was going through these different situations from hardships. Hardship after hardship, distant from his family, especially his father, who he loved, who was a prophet, right? وَهُوَ يَعْلَمَ الْمَكَانَ الَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ وَيَتَمَكَّنْ مِنْ مُرَاسِلَتِهِ He also knew, he was aware of where his father was. And he was able to possibly send someone to get communication with his father. From the hikmah اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى and لَا يَحْصَلْ لِقَاء إِلَّا فِي تِلْكَ الْحَالِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not permit, or he did not allow the coming together except in the situation after he's went through all these different trials, right? After he's went through all these different things. التي اشتدت المشاقتها وعظمت شدتها أو شدتها. It was something in which it was severe and was great and magnificent of trials. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed them to come back and meet. So knowing this, in all these different situations, Yusuf alayhi salam was patient. Next benefit from the benefits of this beautiful story, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ لَابَتْ بِإِسْتِعَانَ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ فِي الْأَمُورِ الْعَادِيَّةِ الَّتِي يُقَدِّرْ عَلَيْهَا بِفِعْلِهِ أَوْ قَوْلِهِ أَوْ إِخْبَارِهِ. So it is there's no harm in putting and seeking aid in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ordinary affairs of the dunya, different things. You can ask them, as long as the person has knowledge to be able to do it, and he is able to do it, and he is present to do it. These are the three things, okay? He has knowledge to do it, he is able to do it, and he is present to do it. These are the three conditions in which makes it permissible to seek al-isti'ana, to seek aid with the person. Tayyib. If we don't have these three things, for example, let's say, for argument's sake, that the person is not present and able to do it. Tayyib. What do we call that? Shirk. Jazakallah khair. For example, going to the graves. This person's not here. But yet you're calling upon that grave. You're calling upon that person in the grave to try to help you. That right there shows us that person's iman is deficient, and that's not permissible whatsoever. It doesn't fulfill the conditions. Likewise, the person who is la yaqdur alayhi, he is not present. He's not in that place particularly, or has the ability to do it. Likewise, these right here also negate the ability to seek out any type of isti'ana, any type of aid from that person. And where do we get the proof from this? Where do we get the proof from this in the story of Yusuf? This permissible to seek isti'ana, aid from the creation, as long as they're present, able, and willing to fulfill it. They have the knowledge to fulfill it. Where do we get that? From the story of Yusuf, alayhi salam. When they were in jail, right? When they were in jail, and he asked one of the people who he gave the ru'ya, the interpretation of the ru'ya. And what did he say to him? He said, "Uthkurni inda rabbik." Mention me to your Lord. Mention me to your master, Afwan. Mention me to your master, your king, right? Mention me to him. Yeah, tell him about my situation. Explain to him, this person's in jail. He's this, keda. Explain him. Explain me to him. Let him know about me. Tell him my situation. And by the qadr of Allah, that was not able to happen. Until later in the dream, what happened? Or later in the story, the king has the dream. And then that same person comes back. After being asked to interpret the dream, he had no clue. قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَهْلَامٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَهْلَامِ بِعَالَمِينَ. They said, when they were asked about this dream, that it is a mixture of false dreams, and we have no idea, we have no knowledge. We're not learned when it comes to interpreting the dreams. That's when the person who was saved from them remembered. قَالَ الَّذِي وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَّى مِنْهُمَا وَذْكُرْنِي أَوْ وَذَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ فَأَرْسِلُونَ. He said what? But the one who was freed and remembered after a time said, I will inform you of the interpretation. So send me forth to who? To Yusuf alayhi salam. To Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, Sheikh Abdul Razak brings a nice benefit here, and it goes back to Yusuf alayhi salam and his perfect attributes of character and mannerisms and iman and ikhlas. What happens here? When Yusuf alayhi salam sees this person who comes to him, who was freed, who was with him in jail, okay, they were in jail together. He interpreted the dream. He gave him the dream to interpret. All he asked was that you mention me to your master, and that's it. What happens when he comes to him? In this situation, right, if somebody doesn't do something that you asked, usually what are we going to do? Usually. What happens? If somebody, you ask somebody, okay, you, Saeed, right? Saeed, okay. Saeed tells me, rather, when you go back to Pittsburgh, make sure you send me this postcard, for example. Okay, for example. Or let's make it even greater. when you go back to Pittsburgh, send that book that you got from Saudi that you used to study with Sheikh Fauzan so that can benefit the people. Something even greater, right? I go back to Pittsburgh. I completely forget that he asked me about this altogether. Completely forgot. I forgot Saeed in totality. Okay? I don't even remember him. Completely forgot him. Okay? And then, after some years, as they said, Yusuf alayhi salam was in jail. What? Bid'i sinin. In the Mufassirin, they say that means roughly maybe about 7 years or more. Right? Maybe even longer. Yusuf alayhi salam was in jail for years after that. Years. Wrongly imprisoned for something he was free of. Bara'. Completely free of it whatsoever. This person comes back. He has the nerve to come back. And don't say, you know, sorry, I forgot you or anything. He completely forgot him, Aslan. So I come back to Saeed, for example. And I say, hey, Saeed, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Yeah, I need, you know, this and this and this. And yeah, can you help me with that? That's like after 7 to 10 years, right? What does Yusuf, in that situation, generally, Saeed has the right to say what? Man, please, get away from me. I ain't trying to hear that. You know, like, nah. Take that somewhere else, right? Go ask so-and-so. Remember I told you this? Remember I told you that and I was waiting for this book? You know, person generally, from the normal people, we understand this. Like, you have the right, generally, to say, you know, like, yo, what happened with that? I told you to send this. You didn't send it. Yusuf alayhi salam, however, because of his perfect character and perfect mannerisms, he didn't mention this whatsoever. But rather, he interpreted the dream directly without even asking for anything. SubhanAllah, he didn't ask for anything. He didn't say, remember that time I told you to mention me to your master? Remember, you know, I was wrongly in prison. I told you to tell him. La. But he just said, this is the interpretation of the dream, and here you go. Go about your day. Sheikh Abdul Razak says this is from his beautiful husnul khuluq, his beautiful characteristics of mannerisms. And he allow him to raise him. And husnul khuluq generally, it raises people to different higher levels when dealing with the people. People look up to them. They respect them. They have a different type of mannerisms with them. And this was how Yusuf alayhi salam was risen to another level in his character. And on top of that, not only did he interpret that dream, but he interpreted a dream to the T. He wasn't short in it whatsoever. He came and he gave the exact answer of what's going to take place, exactly what's going to happen, exactly how it's going to be, exactly what to do, exactly how to save, etc. And then sent him on the day. SubhanAllah. May Allah grant us husnul khuluq, good character. Tayyib. So going back to the benefit, the benefit in which Imam Sa'di says, which he says that there is no harm in relying on others, as we see from Yusuf alayhi salam. And Imam Sa'di, he says, وَبِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ تَحْسُلِ الْعَبْدِ الْحَيَاةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ الْعَاجِلَ وَالْعَاجِلَ. So, in having good character and good mannerisms, the slave achieves a good life sooner or later. Sooner or later, he's going to have some type of good come his way, as it happened with Yusuf alayhi salam. The next benefit. Next benefit from the stories are of Yusuf alayhi salam. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا وُجِهَتْ لَهُ تُحْمَةٌ هُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِنْهَا لَا يُلَامُ عَلَى طَلَبِ الطُّرُقِ وَالْوَسَائِلِ الَّتِي يَحْسُبُ بِهَا الْوُضُوحُ وَالْبَيَانُ الْعَامُ لِلنَّاسِ. So from the benefits of the story, we see that if a person is accused, he faces some type of accusation with something in which he is free of it. He's free of it. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, he was free of that which they tried to blame him with. Then there is no fault for seeking some type of way or means in which to achieve clarity of his situation, to have his honor put back in place, put back intact. And we see this. And you want it to be generally explained to the people that you are free from this. Where do we see this in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? Where do we see it? Think about when he's in jail, okay? What happens after he does the ta'wil, he gives the interpretation of the dream? What takes place? Naam, exactly. So he comes back to him. First, before that, the medic, he says to him, bring him to me. Bring him to me, okay? Bring Yusuf to me, okay? I want to talk to him directly. I want to see him, okay? I want to see the situation. I want to speak to him about the situation. So that slave goes all the way back to Yusuf, the same one who forgot him completely, okay? Goes back to him and says, come on, we need you. The Malik, the king needs you. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? Imam Sa'di says, كما فعل يوسف عليه السلام مع طولة المكفه لما جاءه الرسل يستدعيه للحضور عند الملك. And he came to bring him to the Malik. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة. Go back to your Lord. Go back to your master, Afwan. Go back to your master. And ask him about the situation of the women. التي قطعنا أيديهن. Those who went and they cut their hands. إلى آخر الآية. Go back to them. And go back to your master and ask him about the women. Investigate the situation. What took place with that for real? Let's let that be clear. Before I come there and leave jail, the situation where I've been in for years on top of years, look into that firmly. Okay? Let me get a just case. Okay? That's what took place. Now, so Yusuf alayhi salam, he was completely innocent of this. And he wanted all the doubt on his name to be cleared. So everyone can see. And he would not come out of prison, right? He would not come out of prison and face the king unless this situation had took place. And he would be clear and his name and honor would be returned back. So from this, again, we see the permissibility. If you have any type of doubts on your honor, any type of claims against you, it's perfectly permissible and within your rights to clear up your name. Perfectly permissible. Sometimes we see where people will be, generally, you know, a person's name will be getting thrown in the dirt and they'll be getting talked bad about. And a person will come to him and say, Ya akhi isbir, be patient. Be patient. Don't let them get to you. Don't let that get to you. Don't let this get to you. You know, you're free from it. Yeah, that's good. No problem whatsoever. Whatsoever. And that's actually a high route to take. But if the person chooses not to take that route, and he chooses to clear his name, you shouldn't still have blame on that person. He's completely permissible. Sometimes we make blame on a person. He shouldn't have responded. He should have left it. Blah, 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 blah. Nah, this is the way of Yusuf alayhi salam in a situation with the Malik. This is the way of Yusuf alayhi salam with the Malik. Likewise, the scholars say that when it comes to individuals, right, who you are always excusing, because excusing people for doing wrong to you is something which generally is praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy across the board. Take the high route, let them say what they say. But excusing the people who do this repeatedly, they're habitual line crossers. They always go into the honor of the people. Continuously excusing them, the scholars say, no, these people need to be addressed and taught correctly. Okay? And again, we have from the proof of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, which helps aid and indicates that to us. So Yusuf alayhi salam would not leave jail until what? The king looked into his affairs and his situation became clear. And then the woman said what? Al-an hashas al-haq, right? Now the truth has become clear. And she stated how she actually was the one who was looking after Yusuf, trying to get after Yusuf. Now, next benefit from this story, al-fasl al-sadis, okay? Wa min dhalik, anna Yusuf alayhi salam jama'a lahum bayna ta'bir ru'ya al-malik wa bayna ma yanbaghi lahum an yaf'aluhu wa yudabbiruhu fi sinin al-hatb li-istidad li-sinin al-jadab. So we see here in a story of Yusuf alayhi salam that he combined between the interpretation of the dream of the king, likewise, with that which was necessary to do and to plan in the years to come. Okay, in the years to come. In the years of al-khasab, which is the years of abundance of produce. And likewise, in the years of jadab, the years in which it was a drought. Okay, so he combined between it. And that is when he got out of jail and spoke to the medic. And they gave him, or he gave him this place. He gave them this high-ranking honor. إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. Indeed, today you have with us a high position, trustworthy position. Nam. So he gave him the ability to do what? What was his job? His ability was to arrange and take care of the storehouses, the managing the produce, managing the money of the country, and that way people can benefit. And that was only given to him by what? By way of the truthfulness in which he's seen. So Imam al-Sa'di says, أي تتمكن من أمور المملكة وتدابيرها. He was in charge of the situations of the kingdom in totality as far as the money, etc., and how it was to be spent. مفوض إليه الأمور لأمانته وكفاءته وكمال ثقة به. He was given this by what? By way of his trustworthiness that he had with him and how he handled his affairs. And he was known for being a person who had knowledge in this. After talking, the medic speaking with him, the king speaking with him, and seeing that he was capable. فالملك هو الذي ابتدأ تأويلته وتفويض الأمور إليه. The king, he's the one who initiated giving him this place and putting him in charge and having him command of these affairs. وَهُوَ الَّذِي اِقْتَرَحَ أَنْ يَكُونُ عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. And he likewise is the one who was Afwan. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he was the one who stated, make me the in charge of the storehouses of the kingdom so that he will be able to deal with the affairs in totality. اِجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. Which he states, I will look after the produce of the kingdom and distribute it, for indeed I am a protector, or I am trustworthy, and I'll safeguard it. Again, we have here an initiating back to something we talked about yesterday, about how a person, it's permissible for a person to go back and speak about some type of quality they may have. And that is here, when Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, Ana hafidhun alim, that I am a protector and a knowledgeable over the situation, right? So that furthers the ability or the need or the permissibility, rather, of speaking about your credentials if the case may be. And that's not bragging. It's not a form of bragging. Nam. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he became somebody who was trustworthy and looked after all of the produce, looked after all of the situation of the kingdom, the produce, how was to be spent, how was to be given, and take into consideration all these years, right? All these years in which are going past. And he's still away from his family, still away from his father, has not seen him, okay? But that's going to come in the next benefit. And he was able to give the distributions of the produce, etc., to the people based upon their family size, etc. So every person, according to their family, will get one camel's worth, right, of whatever produce was sufficient for them. Also, we have here the mashru'iyyat al-diyafa, right? The legislated hosting, or being a good host and taking care of your guests. Right, this was the way of the prophets. Now, where do we find that? And the story is where Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Ala tarawna annani ufi al-kayla wa ana khayru al-munzilin." Do you not see me? Do you not know me to be from those people who will, I will give the kayl, give the proportions, and do right. Wa ana khayru al-munzilin, and I am the best of the accommodators. Accommodators here can also mean diafa, which is hosting, right? And this is from the sunnah of the prophets. This is from the sunnah of the prophets, which is to be a good host, to be good to your guests. We find this again in the story of Ibrahim, right? Where he said what? وَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِمْ عِجْلٍ عِجْلٍ أيوة. What's the ayah? As-sameen, aywa, and put forth to them the calf leg, which is like fat, right, and meat, right? So this is how he was to his guests. This is how this is from the adab and from the mannerisms of the prophets. Naam. Likewise, from the benefits of this story, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِسْتِعْمَالَ الْأَسْبَابَ الْوَاقِئِ right, مِنَ الْعَيْنِ أَوْ غَيْرِهَا غَيْرَ مَمْنُوعٍ بَلْ جَائِزٌ أو مستحبٌ بحسب حالي. Likewise, using the means in which prevents from evil eye, using the means that takes and prevents a person from evil eye, or prevention of other things, preventing means. These are completely permissible. They're not prohibited. Rather, in some situations, it can be recommended to do so. Naam. So Imam Asadi says here, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ جَمِيعُ الْأُمُورِ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. Even though all the affairs is by the legislated decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Qadr, right? لَكِنَ الْأَسْبَابَ الْوَاقِعِ أَوَ الدَّامِغَ مِنْ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. But likewise, taking the asbab, taking the means, right? This is also going in line with the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rulings. But it's important here, as Sheikh Abdul Razak explains, it's important here not to go to extremes. Okay? It's important here not to go to extremes. But before we get to that, the extremes of it, which is the different ta'liqat al-muharrama, where do we see that? Where do we see the prevention in this story of that can might prevent from ayn? Where do we get the permissibility from it? SubhanAllah, this story, look at how many benefits we're on. Benefit after benefit. I haven't been numbering it, but SubhanAllah, it's going on. We're going to finish the book, inshallah, tomorrow. But it's benefit after benefit. Different things all around. From raising the iman, from having firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to making dua to Allah, to having patience, believing in the qada and the qadr, right? SubhanAllah. Dealing with fitna. How to deal with fitna. What to do when we're faced with fitna. How to have good mannerisms. How to protect the heart. How to have a good mind state. All these different things we've taken so far, and we still have a few pages to go. And now we're talking about the legislated means of taking the asbab, taking the means. Where do we find that in a story? We found that in a story where Ya'qub alayhi salam, what did he say to his sons before he left? Ya baniya la tadkhulu min babin wahidin wa dkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa wa ma ughni ankum min Allahi min shay in al hukmu illa lillahi alayhi tawakkaltu. So Ya'qub, what he says, oh my sons, Do not enter in from one gate or one door when you're going back to get the kale, get the food, for the provisions. But rather enter in from different gates, different areas. Because remember, there was 11 boys altogether, okay? Some people, and they were getting the provisions by way of their family size. So by way of your family size, and the people who come, they would get one camel with produce on it. Okay, so this people might see it and be like, wow, that's a lot of food, right? That's a lot of stuff. So Ya'qub said what? Enter in from different doors because there's a lot of them. So they will protect them from the ayin, some of the mufassirin, as they say, some of the different explainers of the Quran. And I cannot avail you against, Ya'qub says, and I cannot avail you against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decision is only with Allah. Upon Him I have relied. So he puts the tawakkal in Allah. Okay, his reliance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, what did Ya'qub do? He went and he took the asbab. He went and he took the asbab, which is what? Preventing from possible ayn. Preventing from possible ayn. Again, importance. Either fa'al al-asbab, if a person does the asbab, he does the means. He goes and takes the means. It's upon him likewise, la ya'tamid ala sabab. He does not rely on the sabab upon the mean itself. بَلْ يَعْتَمِلْ عَلَى الْمُسَبِّبِ. Rather, he puts his reliance in the one who created that sabab, that mean. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعَلَى اللَّهِ يَتَوَكِّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. And upon Allah, our reliance is put in, and the people who put reliance in is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's upon us to make sure we take the means. Now, going back to the different things and not going to extreme with that is where we see today, which is the ta'liqat al-muharrama. And this is something that you see is really prevalent in the Middle East, some parts of Africa as well, Asia, etc. And that is what it is putting. You'll see some people who drive cars, and I'm sure the brother have seen it plenty of times. And they have like little things coming off the back of the car, like little strings or something like this. Right, or they might put some type of spray paint on the car or something like this. Why are they doing this? This is from the ta'liqat al-muharrama. They're trying to protect from evil eye. They're trying to protect from evil eye. But what they're doing it in a manner which is extreme, which is not befitting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate that upon us to do this type of thing. Right, we do not do this. Some of them even go to the point of making shirk. Not only do they put that there, but they believe in their heart that this thing is going to protect them wholeheartedly. That right there is a form of shirk. That right there is a form of shirk. So yes, we need to take the means, but we need to make sure we do it in a legislative manner and not go to extremes with it. And other things from, I'm sure, things that, you know, you brothers have seen where people do different things to protect themselves, and they think it's protecting themselves, and they believe wholeheartedly that this is protecting them. It's important that we make sure we encourage to stay away from these different things in which Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has not legislated. Naam, so seeking out the different means or relying upon the asbab, right? This is something which is legislated. And likewise, we see, or not relying upon the asbab, but taking the asbab and relying on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Likewise, from the dalil that goes along with that is the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said it, "Ihris ala ma yanfak." Be vigilant upon those things in which benefits you, right? "Wasta'in billah." And likewise, put your reliance upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is a clear proof of what? Making sure you're taking the asbab, right? Ihris ala ma yanfak. Do that which is vigilant for you, right? Be vigilant upon it, right? But also put your reliance in Allah. The next one. The next benefit from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, al-jawaz al-isti'mal al-hila wal-maka'id allati yatawassalu biha ila al-haq min al-hukuk al-wajiba wal-mustahabba aw ja'iza. Likewise, from the benefits in which we get from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is the permissibility of using trickery or some type of planning, right, that leads a person to the truth. That leads a person to the truth, whether from the obligatory matters or the recommended matters or the permissible matters. Imam Asadi says here, وَكَمَا إِسْتَعْمَلَ يُوسُفْ ذَلِكَ مَا أَخِيهِ. Just as Yusuf did that with his brother, حَيْثُ وَضَعَ السِّقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. When he went and he put the gold bowl into the handbag of his brother. ثُمَّ أَذَنَ مُؤَذِّن. Then he went and caught the person. أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. أَيُّهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Indeed, oh, you people, you group who have come to travel here, you are from those who are thieves, right? The people of the caravan, you are stealing. Now, before we go into this any further, it's important to point out here that plotting and tricking that Imam Sa'di is talking about here is not plotting which is filled with haram, lying, kadhib, and which will lead to an end result of more haram. Okay, but rather he's talking about leading to the truth. And as we're going to see here, Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't say any lies, but rather he mentions generally that something is missing. Then he generally pulls something out of a bag, pulls that golden bowl out of a bag. And then he asks them brothers, what is your ruling connected to the people who steal? But he never ever said you stole, or he never ever made a lie and did something in which was haram in his words of kadhib. But rather he was plotting in a way that would lead them to the truth, leading them to see them for what they did later, as we're going to see in the story. So he, as he said, أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون. O people of the caravan, indeed you are thieves. You are thieves. Then they asked, What was missing? What's the issue, right? And then he told him about the golden bowl of the king. فبدأت بأوعيتهم قبل وعاء أخي ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخي كذلك كدنا ليوسف ما كان ليأخذ أخاه في دين الملك. Okay, so they began to search in their bags. Allah Ta'ala says, so they began to search in their bags before the bags and got to the bag of the brother. Then he extracted from it, the bag of the brother, the golden bowl. That is the plan of Yusuf. He could not have taken his brother within the religion of the king, within the region of the king, except by the permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So, going on here, Imam al-Sa'di, he states, فَالْحِيلُ أَلَّتِي عَلَى هَذَا النَّوْعِ. The trickery or plotting or planning there is upon this type, la haraja fiha. Then there's no problem with this type of. وَإِنَّ الْمُحَرَّمُ الْحِيلُ وَالْمَكَائِلُ الَّتِي يَتَوَصَّلُ بِهَا إِلَىٰ إِحْلَالِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. But rather, the impermissible plotting and the prohibited plotting and planning and trickery is that which leads to making permissible that which is prohibited. It leads to making that which is permissible that which is prohibited. Or to negating those things which are mandatory performed, right? Them things which are mandatory performed. يعني أو إسقاط الواجبات, right? So you're taking away from the wajibat. This is what is the clear difference between the two, okay? Plotting to bring people to the truth and not doing any type of haram connected in it whatsoever. And then the plotting, which is haram, where you take the rights of others and it's leads to making things that, which is permissible or things that, which are haram permissible or the other opposite, or taking the rights of others. Hopefully, inshallah, that's clear. Huh? Tell you. Nam. Then he says, likewise, what Yusuf alayhi salam did is he worked with the brother and he told him that he was his brother, right? And so the brother also, he didn't plan, because somebody can say here, as Imam Sa'di says, somebody can come and say that, well, Yusuf alayhi salam, he is making the brother to seem like he's a thief. Okay, in this plan, in this plot, in this whatever, he's making him to see like he's a thief. But he told the brother that I am your brother, and he was in on it. He never negated, he never stopped out of it. He went along with it, right? And then he went on to asking them about the ruling of the person who steals, generally. جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه. And the brothers, they themselves, after Yusuf said, what is the ruling of this? They themselves said, the ruling is with us, is that that person, he is the reward. He's the one who gets taken. Had it been Yusuf alayhi salam that said, we deal with thieves this way, it would have been a different ruling. But he let them say what it was. So this leads us to our next point, where the benefits of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, وَمِنْهَا إِسْتِعْمَالَ الْمَعَارِيدِ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَيْهَا. This leads us to our next point, right? Using indirect speech, when it is needed. This is the benefit. فَإِنَّ فِي الْمَعَارِيدِ مَدْحُوحَةً عَنِ الْكَذِبِ. For indeed, the ma'arid, or the using indirect speech, is an alternative to the lying. وَذَلِكَ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ. And that is from different perspectives, right? As we see, where Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِي. Then he went and took it out of the handbag of his brother. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ سَرَقَهَا. He never said that he stole it. He's being indirect here. He never said he stole it. He never lied. Then later, what happens? مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ أَن نَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدَنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ. We do not take the person except for the one who we found this, yani this one to be the one who took it, or the thing in which was lost with him. The thing which is lost with him. He never said that we will take the person who stole it. He never said we'll take the person who stole it, but he said we take the person, the ruling, will be with the one who we found it with him. We found it with him. Right? You guys see the clear difference? Is that clear? If it's not, we can repeat it. So he says, the indirect speech, right? The permissibility, the benefit of al-ma'arid, right? Indirect speech in times where it's necessary. He said, in the first one, he said what? Or he indicated, rather, it was being clear that maybe the brother had stole it because what? He pulled it out of his bag. So he let them see it. He let them derive their own meaning from what they seen him taking out of his bag. After he called the mu'adhin. After he called the person to come and look at it. Okay? That's indirect. He never said he stole it. Okay? He just took it out.